this is a somewhat busy slide that walks through a clinical decision support tool based on recent guidelines published by the American Gastroenterological Association in conjunction with a joint task force on allergy and immunology. Here, we're confronted with a patient with suspected eosinophilic esophagitis. And as Dr. Chahade nicely demonstrated, there are a number of secondary causes of esophageal eosinophilia that need to be considered. The main two, in my mind, are gastroesophageal reflux disease and generalized eosinophilic gastrointestinal diseases. The other disorders listed here on this kind of long list of secondary causes are conditions that should be apparent on a review of the patient's medical history. So once you've excluded those secondary causes of esophageal eosinophilia, we then go on to establish a diagnosis of eosinophilic esophagitis. Note that you do not require a PPI trial for the diagnosis. You can just make a clinical assessment of reflux disease without going through a formal PPI trial. If we have our patient now diagnosed with eosinophilic esophagitis, we go on to the management, which can consist of medical therapy or dietary therapy, with medical therapies being either swallowed topical corticosteroids or proton pump inhibition. Dietary therapies, on the other hand, consist of three different types of diet therapy: an empiric elimination diet, an elemental formula diet, or allergy testing directed diet. As you can see illustrated in this algorithm, if patients fail your initial medical therapy, you can then cross over to receive dietary therapy, or if they fail dietary therapy, you can cross over and receive medical therapy. For patients that have symptoms of dysphagia due to a relevant esophageal stricture, they can undergo esophageal dilation, which is highly effective at alleviating symptoms of dysphagia, but does not address the underlying inflammatory disease. Once you've achieved a patient in remission, if you've achieved remission, both histologically, symptomatically, endoscopically, you need to consider the role of maintenance therapy. And that's regardless of whether you've chosen to do dietary therapy or medical therapy.